We got Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram, BrownZone.com, joining us to talk about the Browns' loss to the Saints on Sunday, 35-14. Scott, you had an interesting tweet yesterday. It said, Browns said during the week they need to know when number seven was in and where he was. They've been able to look in the end zone today, was your response to that. Three times. Talk about Taysom Hill and how he kind of really did it to the Browns yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he's such an interesting player because he's 34 years old. He was a college quarterback, and then in the NFL, he was special teamer, and then receiver, and he played quarterback again, and now they list him as a tight end, but they use him in a million different ways, and he's had a ton of success, but I don't know if he's had a game like that. And, you know, the Saints have other players. Alvin Kamara's really good. Their quarterback, Derek Carr's been around forever, has huge stats. But yesterday it was a lot about Taysom Hill. And, you know, he threw a pass, or he threw two, but he completed a pass. He caught, I think, eight passes from 50 yards. Then he ran seven times for 138 yards and three touchdowns. And there's not a whole lot of mystery. He lines up at quarterback, the Wildcat quarterback, and he runs, and sometimes it's straight ahead, and sometimes it's outside. But whatever he was doing, the Browns weren't stopping it. And, you know, that was, to me, one of the huge stories of the game. And, you know, the Browns' defense has been really disappointing this year, and it certainly was yesterday. And coming out of the bye, didn't fix things, and Taysom Hill made him look even worse.
Now, he did have some turnovers, but he just kind of kept going. It's one of those things where you just shake it off and move on, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only kind of one of the ways the Browns stopped him was he threw an interception when he was quarterback. He tried to go deep, and Denzel Ward intercepted it. And then he made a catch inside the red zone, and Denzel Ward made another real good play and stripped him and recovered the fumble. But the Saints interim coach, Darren Rizzi, said to him at half, like on the way off the field at halftime, we're going to keep going back to you, to Hill. And they certainly did, and the turnover stopped and the big plays continued.
Speaking of getting into halftime, that sequence right before the half was, I don't know if it sums up our season. We get a, you know, interception, get a player then also that gets injured, carted off the field, and we miss two attempts at a field goal. When you see that to Dustin Hopkins, I don't know, maybe he's just caught the bug that everybody else this whole season he represents. I don't know what about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's almost like one of those chicken and egg things that when you're playing bad football, bad things happen. But it's, you know, he doesn't have to miss kicks. You know, so it doesn't take the responsibility off of him. That's part of the bad football is guys are, you know, not playing as well as they did last year or whenever. And, you know, Dustin Hopkins, those kicks, like, he just pulled all three of them. You know, reminded me, you know, a big golfer, reminded me when you get a bad golf swing and you're just, you know, pulling the ball left. And that's what he did. And when you miss a 51-yarder, you're okay, that happened. He misses a 32-yarder, and it was badly, right off the foot, it was left. And then it's nullified by a Saints penalty, so he gets another chance from 27 yards after the Browns can't score a touchdown. And it's the same kick. So, you know, he misses wide left from 27 yards. And, you know, it's tough, and you need those points, and it makes a difference. I know the Browns wound up losing by 21, but the game's different if you have those points. Certainly the Browns probably would have had a lead in the third quarter instead of being tied at 14. But he was so good last year. He was 8-for-8 from 50 yards. And this year, I think he's 14-for-20 on field goals. And to make it even worse, the Browns gave him a 3-year extension in July when he was already under contract for this year. And, you know, kicking's weird, and maybe he'll figure it out and be fine the rest of the year. Maybe he'll be great next year. You don't know. But you know the kickers are up and down, unless you're the greatest kickers of all time. And it's not the hugest contract in the world, but it was $15.9 million for 3 years. And now they're committed to him, at least financially. And that just adds a layer to the season. When you look at the Browns' kind of questionable decisions, that looks like one.
There are a lot of big contracts on this team, right? And how does that strangle us in a little bit? Not to mention the quarterback one, but beyond that, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of big contracts. There's a lot of dead money, dead, you know, salary cap hits for guys that aren't here or aren't going to be here. And Andrew Bear, the GM, continues to say that they have enough flexibility and they'll be able to make roster moves to help fix the things that are wrong this year. But at some point, it does impact how much you can do, and it restricts how much you can do. And that's the reality. So if they're trying to fix this mess in the offseason, that's going to be hanging over everything. Now, I believe Andrew Bear that it won't completely limit what they do, but it will certainly, I think, affect how many moves they can make or the size of some of the moves they can make or who they bring back and don't bring back. I just think when you have a salary cap hit like the $73 million Deshaun Watson has, I just don't see how that doesn't affect the other 52 guys on that roster.
A lot of people observing yesterday's game made comments they thought some of the players quit, or at least it didn't seem like the effort was there, especially since you give up 21 in the fourth quarter when you were still in the game. What were your thoughts on that?
So hard. I know that reaction, and I understand it. It's so hard for me to make that leap. You can point at certain guys and go, okay, is he going 100% on this particular play? Maybe not. You don't know the exact circumstances. You know, the guy's way ahead of him. He's like, I can't reach that guy. It's a terrible look when you give up 21 in the fourth quarter, and one of those is a fourth and one where Taysom Hill breaks loose. And I don't think effort was the issue there. But guys miss tackles and he's gone. The 75-yarder, maybe you could point to an individual here or there. I didn't see like a total effort breakdown. I'm not ready to go there. I think overall the team played hard. I mean, it's 14-14 going in the fourth quarter. So you can't say effort was an issue the whole game. Maybe it was an issue on, that 75-yard touchdown. If you go back and watch the L-22, or is not every bust Betty busting it, perhaps. I know some people point to Juan Thornhill on another long touchdown. You know, it looks like the speed, it's kind of, he's not running it super hard, and then he is, and then he's just trying to trail the play. But those are things you watch for when a team's 2-8, and that's one of the main objectives Kevin Stefanski is going to have is keeping the effort level high. And I think it's been high all year. Perhaps there were a couple plays yesterday where it wasn't ideal, but it did not jump out to me as, oh my gosh, this is a big problem.
Short week, Pittsburgh Steelers at our home stadium, and the weather's not supposed to be good. Enjoy yourself, Scott. What's it going to be like on Thursday? What do you expect? Especially since we got the Steelers, who are apparently taking over the North.
Yeah, the Steelers are, I'd say, surprisingly good this year. Maybe that's an insult to say surprisingly because they're always good. But they had an unsettled quarterback situation. They started Justin Fields because Russell Wilson's hurt. And they were winning games, and then they still made the move to Russell Wilson. Now they're winning more games and look better, and their defense is playing at the usual high level it does. And they just keep finding ways to win games. I don't think they scored a touchdown yesterday, but it's to beat the Ravens. So, really difficult matchup. I would say this is a game the Browns could win because it's a short week. It's a division game. Weird things happen on Thursday nights. The Browns are at home. You mentioned the weather. And I'm not going to rule out the Browns from winning this game. But balancing all that is the Steelers have this unbelievable culture, tradition of winning, and it's going on this year, is they always find a way to win no matter what. Meanwhile, the Browns this season just find ways to lose no matter what, and that's a pretty tough combination if you're looking for a Browns win.
Scott, we look forward to following you this week and see what happens up on Thursday. We'll talk again next Monday. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram joining us, talking the Browns' loss to the Saints. Again, you can check out Scott in the Chronicle-Telegram and at brownzone.com. Our report brought to you by Jamelis Wilson Maryland Fritz Company, attorneys at law, and by Rural Business Equipment. I'm Bruce Van Dyke on WEOL.